FC Radio. Radio with balls.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're 8 seconds in now, Ben.
What, on air?
We're on air.
Oh, hello,
everyone. I've pressed the on air button. And we are now 13 seconds into the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Shindy Breakfast Show.
Welcome to the Shindy Breakfast Lounge, Ben.
Yeah, this is a new thing for us, because people might go, oh, they sound crisp. We sound better than crisp.
We sound really good. What we've now ended up doing is changing the way that we're going to do this show for the rest of the season, in that we're always going to do it from our sofa. We could have the telly on if we wanted. I can make us a cup of tea. We could bring back the Shindy Breakfast Kitchen.
Every home game... Whenever you can do a Saturday morning, obviously.
Yeah.
We should do this more often.
It's nice.
We're on a settee here. It's delightful. The washing machine's running.
I feel humbled. I feel like we're on a Channel 4 Sunday breakfast programme.
Can I be Tim Lovejoy?
You can be whoever you like, mate. That's the beauty of
Who's
radio.
Who's the one? Simon?
Rimmer. Yeah, surprisingly enough, it is Rimmer. I mean, it's often not the kind of word that I get to say, but...
It often gets overlooked, that, though, doesn't it?
Do you want to talk people through the Shindy Breakfast Lounge? Is there anything particularly of interest that you want to draw
attention
to?
Well, it's in the new gaff.
Nothing new anymore. I've been here a year.
But it's new to the listener, because we've not done that many shows in that time, because it's all been up in the air.
That is true.
But it's a delightful little living room area, and it's good that the camera crew are here as well filming us. So...
Yeah, carry on.
What poor effort of Paul Simon is this?
I wouldn't say it's poor effort. It's Hot, Hot, Hot by the Merry Men.
It sounds like Paul Simon.
Olé, olé, olé.
Does that sound like Paul Simon? Does this sound like Paul Simon? Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Shindig Breakfast Show live here on FCUM Radio. Radio for FC United Manchester. It's Ben and Marv on the Shindig Breakfast Lounge.
Hot, hot, hot.
Coming up this morning, we're going to be talking to Colleen from Loose Women. Have a chat with Jose Mourinho. We're also going to be interviewing every single member that's ever been to the Celebrity Big Brother house to ask one simple question. Why? To be fair, we already know the answer. It's for the money. So instead, we're going to ask every single member of the audience, Ben. We're going to call every single person that's watched Celebrity Big Brother. There's only 10 of them.
Ask them a simple question of why. Can I just represent them? I was watching it last night.
Did you watch it?
Last night? You've actually watched a programme.
Well,
I'm married, aren't I? This is what you have to do.
Ben, I will not take that. That feels like a slight... It nearly feels like a slight on women, but you didn't mention women. It just feels like a slight on marriage.
Yes.
And for that reason...
All civil partnerships, let's be fair.
Absolutely, Ben. You know, we're not going to pick sides in a debate at this point. Anyway, this is the Shindig Breakfast Show. You can get in touch this morning at FCM Radio on Twitter. You can get in touch with us on Facebook. Is that still a thing? Would you get a message saying, oh, someone sent you a message?
Occasionally we get one from Helen, but she normally listens to the show after the event. As does Steph.
All right, okay, fine.
So well, I should just say, hi, Helen, hi, Steph.
Hi, guys. You can email us after the event. That's absolutely fine. We'll take that on board.
Of course, because we're playing on Sunday this week, Shindig Breakfast Show is also on Sunday morning.
Not live,
obviously.
Of course, we've got the classics coming up this morning. We're going to be having... who are we playing this weekend, Ben?
We're playing Bradford Park Avenue in El Clasico.
So we're going to be talking to the opposition manager, no doubt about that. We're going to be talking to our manager, Tom Greaves, about everything that's going on there. About his preparations for Sunday.
Marv, I know it's been birthday week for you.
Yes, mate.
But... a lot's happened since we last spoke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's happened, mate? Feeling hot.
Tom Greaves is no longer the player manager.
What?
He left this week.
What?
Yeah, he's playing for Hyde today.
Let's go back upstairs, Ben. Things made a sense when we recorded this upstairs in the studio.
Obviously, we've said it on Red Rebel Radio. We'll say it on FC Live. Wish Tom all the best. He was great. He was great. Friend of FC Radio.
He was.
100 goals, over 100 goals we've commentated on his FC United career, and one for Bradford Park Avenue, which we don't like to talk about, involving some guy playing the bagpipes, if you remember.
No?
He blanked that.
Blanked it, completely.
Yeah, so he's...
So FC's all-time top scorer then?
Yeah, he sadly resigned as player manager, and now he's Dave Chadwick's in
charge.
Have
you spoken to him?
Tom? I've texted him.
Right.
Swampy's spoken to him.
Is he all right?
Yeah,
you know, let's have a little bit of insight.
Fine.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. So he's going to...
Hyde United.
Looking forward to his time at Hyde.
He is, yeah.
Is this going to involve any kind of home move, Ben? Is he going to disrupt his family life at all? Is it a big money move?
If anything, it's closer to Yorkshire. Just ever so slightly.
Is that a good thing?
What, that's closer to Yorkshire? No, it's terrible. But for him, it's good.
I like Yorkshire.
But you're from Yorkshire, Marv.
Yeah. I'm going to the Peaks tomorrow, Ben.
That's not Yorkshire, that's Derbyshire, mate.
I know, I'm just extending the conversation, mate.
Okay.
Just moving it forward, not getting stuck on one subject.
But just to say, we are going to be hearing from Dave Chadwick on this week's show. I interviewed him last night.
Okay. And so what is the process in finding a new manager? Are we bothering? Are we just going to stick with Dave?
Yeah, apparently, my understanding is...
Well, this is why people listen, Ben. They want your finger on the pulse.
I sound like I'm on Sunday Supplement all of a sudden. We're on a couch here. We've got croissants available as well.
We haven't got any croissants. I can get some bread out if you want
to
slice
some
bread.
Do you remember when the Hold the Back page on Sky became the Sunday Supplement? But it was the Jimmy Hill's Sunday Supplement.
That was the best year of it because they had proper silverware on the table. They all wore suits and drank orange juice.
What was Jimmy Hill there for?
What do you mean?
Well, he wasn't a journalist. Well, he's a journalist. He's a broadcaster.
He's an ex-footballer.
But he was surrounded by these hacks. And he was like kind of like... No, but he was from a different era, in a way.
Yeah, I like that about it, though.
It was like having someone from the 1950s there.
You know it's controversial, Ben, but you know what I think? Bring back Ron Atkinson. Get him back on the television. Yes, he made a mistake. All right? But so's Anton de Beck, and we have to put up with him every year.
True.
You know?
But anyway, what was I going to say? So, yes, we've got Dave Chabot coming on. And as it's El Clasico, we decided as well this weekend
to... I can't get over when El Clasico gets represented in such a mank accent.
The best thing is what I heard last week, because Whitby Town played Scarborough in the first ever league encounter. Because obviously Scarborough are a league club, conference club. Yeah. Whitby have always been MPL.
What game? Scarborough-Whitby?
Scarborough-Whitby. Big derby. They played the national anthem before the game. Both mayors were there. Right, I jokingly said, but I wasn't too far off the truth. There some trawler men in the sea saluting? There were.
Both mayors were there. For some reason, I pictured horses.
Horses. Yeah. Was at the Flamingoland Stadium, which just tops the whole thing off.
Outstanding.
Really.
But Whitby Scarborough at the Flamingoland Stadium.
Mm-hmm. But guess what they call that derby?
What do they call it?
Because it's brand new.
Oh yeah,
it's not happened before. Guess what they called it?
What?
What would you call it?
What would I call what?
I
got a call. I was completely distracted.
Whitby against Scarborough. What would you call that derby? Bearing in mind, this has come up because of El Clasico. What would you call it?
Is it start with an L? Is it like El Scarborough?
Mm-hmm.
El Whitbio?
Mm-hmm.
El Chippo? Because they're both good chip
El terms. Chippo would have been good.
Yeah.
But they went with El Costico.
I'm all right with that. Coast or cost?
Coast.
Coast. Somewhere between the two, then.
Now, obviously, I've got that's a Lancashire way of saying coast. I don't know if there's a Yorkshire way of saying it, which is a bit more dour.
I don't know, mate.
Hi, if you're listening from Bradford, by the way.
Hello.
So we've got Nathan Atkinson coming on, sports reporter from the Telegraph and Argus newspaper in Bradford.
Right. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking NFL.
I've got a story to tell about Nathan Atkinson, by the way, as well.
All right.
I had to do an interview this morning, recording this on Saturday, obviously. I had to do an interview this morning at 9 a.m. with someone from the Foundation of Hearts in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I accidentally called Nathan up. And, it was 9 a.m. It was a bit early for a Saturday, wasn't it? So
yeah.
I'd just like to apologise to Nathan for that stupid error part. I just rang the last number.
Is this one of these fake celebrity apologies where you say it on the air so it's an apology, but he doesn't listen, so he doesn't know that he gets
the apology? Oh, he'll be listening to this, though, won't he?
Will he?
Well, yeah, because he'll be attached when the podcast goes out.
That's feeling pressure now, Ben.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to Nathan for that.
Podcast
mistake.
With official apology to Nathan. Is that what the title is going to be of this podcast?
Yes.
Beautiful. I like that we're just being lazy with our apologies.
And because we're lazy, we've not arranged Steve Wood to come on this week. I forgot.
That is a real shame.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about that. But we'll hear from Steve Wood on It'll Be Off on Sunday at about 2 o'clock.
Really good news.
Yeah. Can I just say as well, someone got in touch on It'll Be Off on Spennymoor because I looked tired and said it was clearly aimed at my face on the camera when Woods, Owens, Stato, Paul were talking. Someone said, at 2 minutes 35, come back, Swampit, all is forgiven.
That's a shame.
But that wasn't the face I was portraying.
I mean,
the face I was portraying was, I've been up very, very early this morning and I am tired.
Facts about Ben. Trouble with sleeping. Several kids.
Three.
Let's be honest. And she's not going to like this, but let's be honest about it. Difficult wife. Plus, not the greatest season for FC so far.
No,
So it's not like you're turning the camera going, hey, everybody, let's do 90 minutes again. Well, you love this. Have I seen our only win so far this year?
You have.
What a guy I am.
Well, the old Swampy's not here. That's why we won. And Ben's not wearing a hat.
That's why we won.
That fell through this week. So
So the hat's coming back.
I'm the last standing.
You're the last standing.
Right, the hat's coming back. And we're getting into winter, so that's good news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately, as I said, best of luck to Tom Greaves.
So who's replaced Tom up front?
Well, this is it. We don't know.
Right.
But I believe we'll find out shortly, but Chaddy is looking for...
And you think we're going to see many changes to the starting 11? And
well, Racky's gone.
Right.
And I think...
Rickety-rack.
I think there might be a couple of changes, but nothing drastic.
Right.
I think the only thing he's going to do is put a rocket up someone's backside. And,
who's rocket?
Well, just G him up a bit.
All right, not someone specific.
You know, get out of your...
Come on, lads.
Come on, lads.
Let's you know what? In fact, Ben, I can talk about this week because I've watched the Manchester City documentary, well, some of it, All or Nothing.
He was playing up to the cameras.
Ben, I don't want to kind of be nasty, but it's awful.
He was playing up to the cameras.
I don't mind Pep. And the fact that he's played to the cameras, of course, there are cameras there. We'd all do it. I don't have an issue with that. But... anyone that turns around to me says, oh God, what a good documentary that is. It's really not. Watch a good sports documentary. There are plenty out there. You've got Senna. You've got...
I watched Senna last night again. It's a great documentary.
It's a great documentary.
It really is.
And the thing about the City one, and I'm not having a go, but the thing about the City one, it's basically the same, except more successful, I give them that, as an end-of-season Middlesbrough review. Because you see a game, you see an interview with a player, you see a game, you see... There's no depth to it. There's no like, oh, this is a really good documentary about... what it's like being a global powerhouse of football. It's nothing like that.
A better documentary would have been, here's Francis Lee. This is City at Main Road. How on earth did it get to this stage?
At one point, they started kind of scratching the surface a little bit because I watched up to the January transfer window time.
Right.
And they were trying to bring a player in. Laporte, I think his name was. I never heard of
but
him.
But where's the...
There was no kind of interest to it. I liken it
to where you cheat at Championship Manager. You know where you take... You've got a...
You cheat?
Yeah. You can cheat on Championship Managers.
Why do you, though?
No, but you can.
In what way can you cheat?
Well, basically, you could take over someone like Preston North End.
Yeah. Right?
Put all your old players up for sale for ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
Take over Barcelona, take over Real Madrid and sell them. And there you've got loads of money coming.
Oh,
and at the same time...
You are a monster.
At the same time, you could take over... I don't know.
The bad news, Ben, is that's not cheating. That's life.
If you're playing Championship Manager 01 or 02, the best one, in my humble opinion, you could take over West Ham. Put Frank Lampard, Rio Ferdinand and all that on the market, put them in the reserves, find them, make them feel unhappy, and then little old Division 2 Preston North End comes in with the bags of money, buys them. And suddenly, you've got this amazing team. And that is essentially what that documentary's like. There's no jeopardy in it at all. There's no challenge.
The jeopardy, Ben, the jeopardy laid within the magnetised formation board that Pep was using.
What, like Andy Gray's boot room?
Oh, Ben.
Oh,
but you've never seen the speed that this man can move those little magnets around a board. That's where the jeopardy was. Is he going to miss one?
We go here.
Wow!
How do the players follow?
Huh?
How do the players follow? Are they worth the money then? Is that what we're saying? Because they can follow him and his magnets.
I'm not saying that, Ben. I'm not making a comment. I'm just saying, considering the magnet moves I've seen in the past, Pep's are right up there. Great speed, great accuracy, intense.
Because I've got some magnets on my fridge.
But maybe this is what...
The artwork that my children design keeps falling off. Maybe this is what we're doing wrong. Should I watch the documentary for that reason?
I think you should. And I think I'm going to call him Chaddo. I think Chaddo should as well.
Chaddy.
Chaddo. I think Chaddo should watch the documentary because I think the intensity with which Pep moves the magnets could be the rocket that you're looking for. Imagine going in half time. Hey, what we need to do is this. They're like, wow. If he's that intense with his magnets, imagine what he's going to be like with us at half time if we don't get a goal.
I have been in the dressing room a couple of times. I'm just trying to think if they do have a magnetised whiteboard.
I figured they had a touchscreen TV on the wall and they're pulling up Paul Hinson's stats.
No, afraid not.
They don't have that yet.
They do after the game. I know Statlepole, one thing Tom Greaves was really good at, which was a breath of fresh air, was he would speak to Paul about various things that had gone on in the game
right, to
try and get an understanding of, you know, that kind of thing.
We had 172 passes in the second half.
Thanks, Paul.
The thing is...
Love that.
The thing is, last week we had... On Saturday... Well, no, it's true. I mean, it's like I said on Monday. On Saturday, we got beat 2-0 by Leamington with 70% possession. We dominated them without creating a single chance. And then, on Monday against Spennymoor, we got beat. We only had 40% possession. And I said to Paul, great, because there's nothing better than getting beat when you've had most of the ball. It's like some kind of... It's like a softened blow the fact that you didn't have the ball, so you didn't deserve to win.
True. Yeah. I see that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Whereas if you play like mid-90s Liverpool, like we did on Saturday, just passing it, pass.
It's the Liverpool groove, man.
It wasn't a groove, man.
Did they move after passing it?
No, that was the problem.
So it was just pass and pass, the Liverpool...
The Roy Evans way.
Well, I mean, it needs to rhyme because you've got pass and move, the Liverpool groove. If you're doing pass and pass, it's the Liverpool sass. I don't think it really works.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, so shall we get into this weekend's football? We are...
Do you want to play an interview?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, it's on iTunes if you go down there.
Or
Windows or Media Player.
Or any of the systems, yeah. It is on iTunes, yeah. Right.
We are recording this on Saturday. Just to say, by the way, on Saturday, later this afternoon, you might think there's no football on FC Radio, why bother? On Saturday, at 3 o'clock, we'll be bringing you live coverage, NPL Show Live, Radcliffe FC against Colwyn Bay.
Oh, lovely.
I know. Well, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
It's going to be a nice day out.
Yeah, it is. I'm good. Me and James are doing it.
Here's a question for you, because I mentioned to you, we'll get to the interview in a second, but people like the chat, Ben. We know this. We've done a survey. Let me ask you this. You're a man that's travelled the country well now, because of going to the non-league games that you've been
to.
On Sunday, I'm off to New Mills.
Oh, lovely.
I'm going to walk the Millennium Walkway.
Okay.
Have you done this?
You say that I'm well travelled. I'm well travelled on coaches.
To ground specifically. But yeah, I don't know if you'd stretch. Do you know what the walkway is?
Nope.
It's amazing, Ben.
Okay.
There's the Tours, it's called. The Tours Gorge. The Tours.
I'm assuming you just go into hills and then just...
No, it's down, Ben. It's in the depth. It's a gorge. There's a beautiful looking viaduct. Maybe an aqueduct. I'm not sure which it is. But... Then they've built a metal walkway running all the way around the side of the gorge. It goes on for like 200 metres or so, something like that. It's part of a bigger walk. It looks lovely. I'm going to bring a picture up for you.
Okay.
I couldn't believe this was in New Mills. I was like, what? Are we living in a dystopian future down there in the peaks?
I should say, speaking of New Mills, coming up on Sunday, if you're in that neck of the woods, the women's team are taking on Didsborough in the FA Cup.
Are they?
2 o'clock kickoff.
That sounds like
I don't know why it's taking place at New Mills, but 2 o'clock kickoff if you can't make Bradford Park Avenue.
Come on, look at this.
Oh my God, look at
all these.
Look at that.
This is sitting in New Mills.
Wow.
You've been there how many times?
Several.
Several times, you've never been there.
Oh.
It looks different, doesn't it?
It does look different.
I'm going to have a little walk down there. I'm going to take myself a picnic, Ben.
Are you going on your own?
No. God, I wouldn't take a picnic by myself. That's madness, isn't it? Who does that?
So, as well as New Mills, as well as Radcliffe Bury against Colwyn Bay this weekend, on Sunday it's FC United against Bradford Park Avenue.
Boom, banger,
in El Clasico.
That is boom, banger, bang.
Now,
Sunday, isn't
to
it?
Set the scene, normally at this point, we'd get on someone like Steve Wood, like Swamper, but we can't be bothered. So instead, we're just going straight to the other team. And on Friday, I caught up with Nathan Atkinson, journalist, sports reporter from the Telegraph and Argus, and here's what he had to say. So, Nathan, a big thank you for joining us. Safe to say it's been a very interesting week at FC United, but it's been a good season at Bradford Park Avenue thus far. I mean, how's it been following it from Bradford Park Avenue point of view?
Well, yeah, it's been really impressive so far. I mean, obviously, they're second in the league, won 5 of their first 7. And they're not a club with a massive budget particularly. And I know last season they were only really expecting... probably get mid-table, and they ended up getting all the way to the playoff semi-final and only lost that late on in extra time to Brackley. And then, yeah, they've carried that on really into this season. I mean, they sold their star striker, Adam Boyes, over the summer to Spennymoor Town, which looked like it could be a big blow to them, but they've sort of regrouped and come back as if sort of at the end of last season, really. It's been a fantastic start.
I mean, I remember when I think it was Knowles who left the club midway through the season and went up to Scarborough, and he was saying at the time, I think Bradford Park Avenue are cutting their budgets and you know the cutting their cloth accordingly, that kind of thing. But if anything, the form went up towards the second end of the closing stages of last season, and that's kind of carried on this year. I mean, what is the expectation for what Bradford could do this year?
Well, I think really, they're probably going to be setting the sights high now. I mean, obviously, with last season getting so close and having such a good start this season, I mean, I think even though they maybe don't have the biggest budget, I think they've really got to be aiming for promotion. I mean, obviously, Charlie looking very, very good this season already, like 7 wins from 7. They're going to be tough to catch already, you'd think. But, I mean, there's just so many playoff spots in the National League North. I mean, I think Avenue will certainly be targeting one of those. I mean, their defence... as like it was solid last season. It's been this season as well. I mean, they've let in seven, but I mean, one of those games was a real anomaly. They lost 4-2 away at Leamington. They're only defeat. So they've only conceded three in the other six games. I mean, they've got Stephen Drench in goal, who's one of the most respected keepers in the league. Shane Killick's a really experienced centre-back who does a lot for them. And yeah, and they don't score a load of goals. They've actually been outscored by half the league. Actually, I had a little look earlier. But they get the goals with the knee. You won't be surprised to see Brav Park Avenue pick up plenty of 1-0 wins this season, put it that way.
And you talk about the playoffs of being so many positions. I don't think FC United can be ruled out just yet. But anyway, when it comes to this match against FC...
Doesn't stretch quite that far down, Ben.
Oh, don't be like that. Don't be like that.
Oh,
we're getting on so well.
Time go, yeah. I mean, I think really it's a really open league. Mark Bowerhouse speaks to him most weeks, and he's always expressed that it's such an open league. I don't think there's a case of really ruling anyone out of promotion, relegation, anything really. Anything could happen down there.
Absolutely. And obviously it's FC United against Brad Park Avenue on Sunday. One of several times we've played Brad Park Avenue. We call it El Clasico here on FC Radio. Yeah. But it's the two in and fro in the playoff finals that we've had, the semi-finals we've had, the classic games, both home and away. It's been a great rivalry over the years. I mean, what's your take on it?
Yeah, it really has. And I mean, I think it's interesting. It's sad to hear about Tom leaving early this week. But I mean, I think, like you said, I mean, it's one of Park Avenue's best memories, sort of like of the last sort of 10 years, beating you in that playoff final to get into the National League North. So I think it is, like you said, it's a real El Clasico. And I know Mark's nervous because obviously when obviously a new man comes in or a manager just left, you're never quite sure how the team's going to react. So I put it to Mark, obviously FC United, they've played a lot of teams up high and FC are quite low. But he said, look, I mean, we know how good they are. They've got great support, great fans. He was keen to express that. And he said, look, especially with it being the first time under either caretaker or whatever, it you don't know what's going to happen. He said, there's absolutely no way that this game is any easier than all the games we've played so far against sort of, what, like sort of teams higher up in the league, promotion rivals almost.
Well, Nathan, a big thank you for joining us. Before you go, just a quick plug for the Telegraph and Angus and how people can view what's going on at Bradford Park Avenue and that kind of things. How could people follow it all?
Well, they can follow it all. They can go on the Telegraph and Argus website, the Bradford Telegraph and Argus, telegraphandargus.co.uk. We tend to speak to Mark Bauer every week. So in terms of following Park Avenue specifically, I mean, there's always going to be... They usually have an interview with me and Mark, and it'll usually go into Friday's paper and on Friday's webpage. We'll always post the latest sort of press, like the sort of Bradford Park Avenue releases. We often Neil sort of might publish something of ours, and we'll publish the odd thing of theirs, sort of like new transfers, contracts, goings on at the club. So obviously, all the yes, admittedly, Bradford City obviously is the premier football club that we cover. We do dedicate a lot of time to Park Avenue, and they're a very popular team in the area. I know that the fans certainly like to catch up with them weekly, really. So there's plenty to catch up on regarding Park Avenue on the TNA.
Nathan Atkinson there, joining us from the TNA. The Telegraph and Argus.
Sounded tired.
Bradford. Hey?
You sound a little tired.
Who?
Nathan.
No, it was yesterday. It wasn't the mistaken phone call this morning. I do apologise, Nathan, once again. Hey, you can follow Nathan on Twitter, NathanA_T&A.
He's got a lovely voice.
Yeah. It's good. Good nice. And we had a good chat about Bradford Bulls and Keith Lacougars as well in rugby league. It's good.
Well, does Nathan know about this, Ben?
What? What
Look
is that?
This guy.
Is that a Bugatti Veyron?
It's been made out of Lego. It's a full Bugatti, which actually, by the way, is one of the best words you can say in a Geordie accent.
Bugatti.
Is that what you think a Geordie accent is? Does it again? Do it once more.
Bugatti.
Now, that's closer, yeah. Bugatti. have you seen me, mate? It's Bugatti.
There's a guy in that car. Does it work?
It's driving, yeah. It's an actual...
Does it work?
It's made out of 1 million Lego bricks and a 5.3 horsepower engine.
So it doesn't drive as fast.
I mean... I don't think it's going to go as fast as like an F1 car, for example, but let's find out.
It takes 20 people around 6 months to build one of these Bugatti Chiron supercars by hand. But if your pocket money...
Courtesy of the BBC.
...stretch far enough for you to buy one, the guys at Lego Technic have proved that it is possible to build your own.
Oh my God, it moves and everything.
It's an actual car.
The world's first Lego Bugatti Chiron. It's made from over 1 million Lego Technic pieces, and the doors, headlights, taillights, steering wheel and brake pedal all work. It's not just the car's shell that's made of Lego, but the motor too. And if just building it wasn't enough, they've also powered it by using over 2,000 small motors, over 4,000 gear wheels and 2,000 cross axles. Now that's a lot of little bricks.
What did she say? That's a lot of little bricks. I can't help but feel like, as a species, we are generally messing around the edges rather than dealing with the big issues.
It's funny. I was kind of thinking the same thing there.
Who gets paid to do that?
I mean, it's a great job. I'm not one of these people.
I'm not like the Daily Mail. I'm not one of these people who has a go at scientists for discovering random things and thinking, you know, how many jelly babies does it take to make a hamster go, no, thank you, I've had enough. That kind of thing. It's all finding out stuff. I'm all for that.
Right, but building a car out of a million Lego bricks and making the motor work using Lego pieces and 2,000 little motors, you not into that?
Not really.
No, I agree, mate. I agree.
What I would have been into is driving that full pelt into a wall to see what would happen.
Oh, imagine that. That's a great idea. Who's trying that? Those poor scientists stood to the side that built it. Guys, I'm about to put this through a wall. I'm going to be left sat on the ground by myself, surrounded by bricks. The other thing the BBC had gone with this morning, Ben, is a title of a story called The Day Man City Changed the Face of Football Forever. So what City are doing at the moment is pretty smart, because they've released that documentary, which has got them a good amount of coverage, if they needed it anyway. Plus, now the BBC is picking up on additional stories off the back of the documentary. Yeah. And this is a general story, I read it this morning, just about City's history. But it's not about City's history, Ben. All City's history, and the same in the documentary and this story, starts in 2008.
Right.
What happened in 2008 with City?
Is that where the Thailand guy took it
Shinawatra,
over?
I think, yeah, his name was something like that. Yeah. So they forget the bit that he owned the club, and that really was the change for City when he bought it back in the day.
One thing they also forget is how questionable some of these characters are.
Oh, absolutely, Ben. And the only reason, though, that I do like the fact that City's history starts in 2008... is the fact that every time they talk about that, as a comparator to how great they now are, they say, the last game the City played before Sheikh Mansour and all his gang came in and bought it, they lost 8-1 to Middlesbrough on the final. Because it's the only time that Borough ever gets used as a comparator for something great.
So to be fair, it's your fault, is what we're saying.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, Alfonso Alves scored a hat-trick that
8-1.
Yeah, on the last day of the season. I was in a train station somewhere up north, and I was trying to avoid the score, just to watch the match of the day later, the last one of the season and all that. And someone walked past me and went, "Gah, have you seen the scores?" I went, no, I'm not interested. So, this won't bother you. City lost to Borough, 8-1. Why would you think that wouldn't bother? I've said I'm trying to avoid the scores. Why would you make an assumption? He probably just thought it was a United fan.
He waited to tell you.
He did.
That's the thing. That's why he engaged the conversation in the first place.
I mean, there was Alfonso Alves' only good game. Stuart Downing scored the goal of his career.
Where is he now?
He's still at Borough. He went away and he came back.
Still DJing?
Yeah. After the match, he still goes down the Purple Onion. That's the real name of the place. I'm not making that up. Right, should we move on?
Can
then?
I just talk to people just before we do and get, because we get Chaddy on in a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just tell people about the DJ at Spennymoor? It was, seriously now, if you've ever been to one of these, back in the day, they used to have fairs a lot, didn't they? Places like Littleton Road and Beulah and places like that. And you'd have a random guy on the waltzes, wouldn't you? Talking. Rave on. Kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This guy was the Geordie equivalent.
Come on down for the next round!
Was the Geordie equivalent of Rave On, but he was trapped in another time. Some of the jokes he was saying were a bit, "Oh, I don't know if you can say that."
What, in the ground?
In the ground, on the PA. And he's doing it to the background. He's doing that, let's talk over the introduction of something, let's turn the volume down. You know, like Radio 1 does, and then come back in. About 5 minutes before the song's even ended, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's going, you know, all woman, of course. And he's so Partridge. But the music was dreadful as well.
Yeah.
It was like being at Surfers Paradise in town back in 2001.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, you do, because you went there once.
Surfers Paradise?
Yes, the one above Walkabout. Do you remember the club?
I went there once.
You did, yes, with work, I remember.
I remember going to Walkabout.
Yeah, upstairs. The club upstairs was called Surfers Paradise. What was it? It was an abomination, Marv. That's what it
was. Have you been there with me?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did we enjoy it?
No.
I don't remember it.
No.
So I've just blacked this out of my memory.
Yeah. It was horrendous. And that's pretty much like the music at Spennymoor on Saturday. On Monday, sorry.
Are there baths at Spennymoor? For some reason, I have Spennymoor baths as a phrase in my brain.
You know what? On Red Rebel Radio last week, we did the tourist guide for things to do in Spennymoor, and one of them was Spennymoor Leisure Centre,
so what?
Which does have a slide, Marv.
That's why it's in my brain. I must have gone there as a kid or something. Must have gone to Spennymoor baths.
It's like, we did that feature on Red Rebel Radio as a joke. It now transpires that it's very, very handy and informative. Because if we didn't do that, Marv, you'd have been sat here all day thinking to yourself, does Spennymoor have a baths?
I mean, I would have Googled it, mate. I mean, I wouldn't have sat here all day worrying about it. I do have a life these days.
You wouldn't have gone to New Mills. You would have gone, I'm going to stay here and...
I'm going to drive to Spennymoor, find out if there's some baths there.
Now, obviously Spennymoor was the last game in charge with Tom Greaves. It was announced on Tuesday afternoon that he was standing down as player manager.
What?
Yeah, he stood down as player manager. He's no longer in
Good
charge.
God.
And he subsequently left as a player now. He's playing at Hyde United. Dave Chadwick's taking temporary charge. Dave Chadwick has been involved with the club since Christmas. Scouting a lot of the time, involved with training and youth side stuff, but generally scouting. So he was.
Has he got the background of a coach?
He's been. He was the coach at Charlie's youth setup. He was the manager at Charlie's youth setup for a number of years. Assistant at Salford City with Phil Power there.
The question that everyone wants to know.
Coach at New Mills, yes.
The question everyone wants to know: man to man or zonal?
Also, I don't know. You know, yeah. I think people assume based on Chaddy's demeanour as a defender, because remember the famous quote about Dave Chadwick from Carl Madison, he'd put his head through a wall if I told him to, right?
Terrifying.
No nonsense. Terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying.
But actually, pretty gentle. Nice man.
Gentle giant.
Yeah, nice man. So it'd be interesting to see how he's going to... I don't think he's going to be as lively, as angry as he might have
been as a
defender.
No, I'd like to think that he's very kind of, hey, everybody, hello, come on in.
No, I'm not saying jolly. I'm not saying jolly, Marv.
Text one of the lads over to the side and says, if you concede a goal, I will cut you.
No, Chaddy's one of these people who don't think has to say anything. He can do it all with his eyes.
Yeah, that I appreciate. Yeah. I'm not going to do it to you because you will leave the house. I've got quite the stare if I want it, Ben. I don't know if I've ever shown it to you, but... quite the stir.
Anyway, so on Friday I caught up with caretaker manager David Chadwick. So let's hear what Chaddy had to say. Volume.
Mr. David Chadwick, and it's been quite a whirlwind week, to say the least. I mean, how's it been for you?
Yeah, totally agree with that comment. I think I've used whirlwind about six times already in the last 2 days. Obviously, it was a bit of a shock, but straight away I said, you know, I'll do anything I can to help. So, you know, chuck me in at the deep end, so to speak.
We spoke, I think, at the turn of the year when you came to the club, and back to the club, rather. And what we were saying at that point was, you know, you're going to help out with the coaching side and the scouting side, and you have been busy. I mean, on Monday, for example, you were watching our next opponents, Bradford Park Avenue. You put your scouting report in on Tuesday. I mean, do you have any indication that this was coming down the track at that point? Or?
Oh, not at all. Like you said, I was at a game on Monday, taking me notes, taking me videos, etc. And I found my reporting, as I do, so then the guys could look at it and look into training and stuff. Filed it away and just filed it as done, complete. Move on to the next game, and then I was planning my next plan of attack on the fixtures. So yeah, I didn't have the foggiest clue that it was going to happen, and it's always a sad thing to see, you know, especially with someone who's such a nice guy and I've got a lot of respect for. And you know, I was speaking to him the other day, and we were on about, you know, you can't get excited about coming into a job in this position because it's sadness all around it. And, you know, because I feel for Tom, and we've been on a bad run, so you can't be excited about joining in on that, if you know what I mean. You've just got to go in and try and work as best you can and work as hard as you can and try and, you know, get an upturn in the results.
Now, it's an interesting position you've been in, because obviously your attention's been outward looking in a way. You've been looking at the opponents for FC United. Have you got any indication about the actual, the internals of the club, the squad themselves, and what challenges we might be facing in the coming weeks?
Well, obviously, like you said, I've been out a lot on the games, scouting a few games and stuff, but you always try and keep an eye on. I do watch. I mean, highlights don't tell you everything, do they, on a squad? You don't see the internal side on that. What I can say, you know, I was in training last night, and the tempo was great. They worked hard. You know, I think we've got to have a boost in fitness because, you know, we need a better tempo in the games. We need to, you know, we need to be pressing higher up the pitch. We need to not be giving, you know, the opposition time on the ball to pick passes and cut us open. You know, we need to be more alert. And a lot of it's fitness. And we'll be working on fitness and, you know, trying to get them levels higher. And that comes along with you're fitter, you're grinding results out, you're getting more points on the board, you're moving up the table, players are happier, players are smiling, they work harder for each other. And it's a combination of things that get you your results. And at the beginning, it's basics. You know, we get the basics right. We're making mistakes. Cut the mistakes out. Up your fitness levels and see where we go.
I mean, that was one of the challenges Tom was having, really, because, you know, we thought we'd had this really great pre-season, but it felt like that every club who we've come across has gone up a notch or two. And it's difficult, isn't it, to bridge that gap in the second month of the season?
Of course it is, and he's been unfortunate as well with injuries, and he's made a couple of signings for the club that, you know, he thought were going to make an instant impact, and then straight away they got injured. Two brand new midfielders to get injured. Keeper, you know, has an accident with his fingers, and you've got little things like that. And because it's well known the budgets aren't big, the squad's not big, just small things like that make a massive impact on the way they're playing and on the actual team itself.
So when it comes to this weekend's match, you've obviously, you know, you've been into training now with the squad. You know what to look out for Bradford Park Avenue. Have you got in mind yet what your starting 11 is going to be looking like for Sunday? You're not quite there yet.
Yeah, no. Obviously I've been waiting on trying to get one or two players in. I know we had till tea time today to make some signings. I've managed to do one. So, you know, he's straight into the squad for the weekend, hopefully. I'm just waiting on the official confirmation. But once that's done, and I've got an extra body in there, and I think he'll give us lots of pace. He's great on the ball and lots of energy. So, you know, it'll be a boost to the squad. And it needs a boost for me. You know, I spoke to the lads last night for the first time, and you can see it's hurting them. No one wants to be losing games of football. So I said straight away, we're not having nothing negative. You know, I'm not going to speak negative now. Let's be positive. Let's build. You know, let's go out there and have a good training session, all work hard together and, you know, see where it can take us.
Now, obviously, management's nothing new to you. You've obviously had a good spell at Chorley and before that at Salford City. And obviously, FC United supporters are more than aware of your no-nonsense approach to defending. But when it comes to you as a manager, what can people expect from the touchline on Sunday afternoon?
just passion. I can get a bit excited, but I've got a will to win, and I want the guys out there to do what I ask them, and I want them to work hard. If they're all working 100% and they put the bucket load in, they put their hand up and go, Charlie, I'm knackered. Right, come off, pat on the back, you sit down, you deserve a rest. Sometimes you'll get the result, sometimes you don't. If you're not going to get the result and you're not putting the effort in, that's when it's hard to take. But, you know, I want 100% effort. I want pace on the ball, moving the ball quickly, you know, in the right areas and excitement. A lot of people pay their own money to go and watch football at the end of the day to enjoy it. Players go and play to enjoy it. And when both of them are not enjoying it, it's hard to take, isn't it? It's, you know, you want to put smiles on the faces in the crowd. You want the player, you know, they've done something right and they're made up. And that's what we're missing at the minute for me. And just want to work out and put it right.
David Chadwick there.
I've left the door open, Ben.
Caretaker manager.
It's got the washer going.
Caretaker manager of FC United, and he'll be taking his charge of his first game on Sunday as FC United take on Bradford Park Avenue, and we'll have full commentary here on FC Radio. Tune in from 2:30 on Sunday. www.fc-radio.co.uk for El Clasico. Bradford Park Avenue against FC United at Broadhurst Park.
I keep giving out the wrong address, don't I?
What are you saying?
fc-radio.co.uk.
Yeah,
these days,
changed
isn't
it.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
It's because of GDPR. It transpired our old website had more bugs in it than your old
dog.
I was going to say house, but okay.
Yeah, I had a very vivid dream this week, Ben.
It was I had a vivid dream, but you first.
I was trying to go somewhere. I was flying like to...
Where were you going?
I think like Portugal, Spain, or Turkey, or Greece. You know, it was a holiday destination. It was supposed to be a relaxful holiday. That was the idea. But something went wrong at the airport, Ben, which meant that there was tricky weather. And my only way to get to the actual departure lounge, Ben, and this might surprise you, my only way to do it was to move horizontally across a cliff face in snow and wintry and windy conditions. So I had to leave the airport,
yeah,
get onto a mountainside and climb across like Mission Impossible or something like that. It was worrying. And all the time, I had a friend of mine from work stood at the door going, "You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it." I did make it, all right? The flight over there was horrendous. Once I got there, Ben, I managed to lose my wallet, lose everyone I know, and I was by myself in this place I did not understand. So, like, thank God I've still got my phone. I can find out a local tourist information. I could phone Ben, find out what's going on, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Hey.
And I picked up my phone, Ben, and it was the weirdest thing. It's still in the dream. Picked up my phone, pressed it, and it kind of took like 4 seconds to recognize what I was doing, by which time I pressed another series of times, and then I managed to delete all of my apps. And the next time I just furiously hit it, I managed to knock my phone onto the floor and smash it into 100 pieces. This was not a reparable situation, right? Situation. But, Ben, it was terrifying. I woke up in a ride panic, mate. Very vivid. Like it's actually happening. When I was on that mountainside, on that cliff face, going, trying to just move horizontally.
Are you sure you should be going to New Mills then for this walk? Because it sounds like a warning dream.
I'd not considered it as a warning
dream.
Not that
I'm putting you off, because, you know, you're going to have
Mills
a lovely picnic,
lovely. Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that.
By myself as a psychopath would.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going on Sunday, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, go to the women's team match.
Is that in New Mills?
Yeah.
Oh.
At New Mills FC.
Oh, all right, I will.
At 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, that'd be good.
Yeah.
All right.
FA Cup.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, lovely.
Yeah. Playing Didsbury.
Is it?
Give us some hummus.
Yeah, Didsbury.
Yeah.
Give us hummus.
Yeah.
Oh, I love hummus.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right. What was your dream?
Someone kept ringing the doorbell in this. I was in this like New York apartment thing.
Oh, right.
Might be town, actually. And they kept pressing the doorbell. It was so vivid that it actually woke me up. And I thought, oh, that is actually the doorbell. But it was like 3 a.m.
Right.
So I went for a walk downstairs. No one there. Check the bedrooms and everything. Everyone's asleep. I'm like going, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Because that definitely was the doorbell.
That's it?
Yeah, that's...
It didn't resolve itself?
No. But it was like...
Have you not been left on edge?
No, because...
That repeated doorbell thing, that's what you do. No, that's why the bloody doorbell's broken, Ben.
The light was...
That's why they ran out of a battery.
The outside light was off, so there was no one there. But it was so vivid, Marv.
I bet it was.
Anyway, just to say... you
weird, aren't they, though? You wake up in a slight panic.
Don't forget as well, if you are listening on Saturday, we've got full commentary coming up from 3 o'clock this afternoon of Radcliffe FC against Colwyn Bay in the Northern Premier League. And 2:30 on Sunday is FC United against Bradford Park Avenue. And I think, I've not had it confirmed, but I'm pretty sure the FA Youth Cup is taking place on Wednesday. But in everything that's been going on, it's kind of been lost. But if that match is taking place between FC United's youth team and Nantwich...
Great news for the youth, the future of this game.
And Nantwich Town, we will have full commentary here on FC Radio.
Sorry.
On Wednesday evening.
We just forgot you existed. Sorry.
It's pretty bad, really, isn't it?
It's not great, Ben. It's not tremendous.
I'm pretty sure it says the 5th, which is Wednesday. I'm pretty sure. So there we go.
So, Ben, let's do TV review.
Okay, TV
now,
review.
Now, you've been watching Celebrity Big Brother.
I have.
What on earth has been going on, Ben? Because I woke up this morning to
accusations
of physical abuse.
I'm not going to name names because...
Because it's already out there in the public space.
Yeah, well, the person in question has actually left Big Brother today.
Which person?
Breaking question? News. The person who made the accusation.
The one that received the punch or the one that gave the punch?
She wasn't punched. There was no punch happened.
Ben, I've read a story.
I saw it.
Right.
Basically, this female actor was walking around, and this other male actor, who's from Round Here actually, did the old jokey ch-ch-ch kind of thing.
What's the ch-ch-ch? Because people in here, Ben, you know, they go...
Punchy signs. You know, old school punching. Ch-ch-ch.
Like comedy kind of boxing.
Comedy boxing is a good way of describing it. She laughs.
Like pantomime boxing.
Pantomime boxing. Yeah. She laughs and everyone's fine. It's as you were. Okay? And then that suddenly blows into, he punched me in the ribs. I made a serious accusation against him, which he clearly didn't do. Now, the problem is with this is the fact that as soon as that happens and you've got evidence to say he didn't really, though, did he? Then you've got to, as TV producers, you've got to do something about that, haven't you? So what they did was they warned him, the guy, and he said, oh, God, sorry, I had no idea. It was only a joke. It was just a joke. I was just joking.
And she's then carrying this on in other rooms away from this poor lad. And it's like, no, you should be pulling her out now and saying, no, that's not on, that's unacceptable. So that was going on, which is an abomination of TV in this country, to be fair, that that's happening on television. And the other thing...
It's purely, can I just comment on that for a second? It's just interesting at the time that we're in now. Because whenever anything like that happens...
It's like a dystopian TV show.
No, it just comes up with another big reaction of, which I understand, but because you're a man, Ben, you don't understand the kind of feelings that someone like her has constantly, that she's on the receiving end of aggression, right? So regardless of how anyone may view that, it made her feel a certain way, which she's expressed, and as a result of the expression of those feelings, a lot of people have done and gone, you're a stupid idiot. And that, there's a thing in that. So you can't... But where do you find the middle ground between, oh, that's stupid, she didn't get punched, to, you have to respect her feelings that she felt like she was being punched. There is a mad middle ground there somewhere that I'm striving for, Ben, and I can't find.
And you're not going to get that on Channel 5 on Friday night.
Well, I mean, we've only got 15 minutes of the show. We're not going to get it this morning.
And the other thing was as well, obviously, you talked about earlier the Loose Women thing this week. That was horrible. Really horrible. And the worst thing is, they got all those complaints, Ofcom, about it. The Loose Women still put the video up on YouTube. It's like, what are you doing? Admit you got it wrong. Please.
Stop it. The producers of that program, whoever it is that organises who comes on and pays people and all that kind of stuff, should be absolutely horrified with themselves. It was a disgrace.
But I bet they don't. I bet they don't, Marv.
Oh, that's great for them.
Oh, I bet they don't.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, Ben. We've still not yet seen that Blade Runner, all right, that did shootings and stuff, and I think he's now in prison, but I can't quite remember how it came out. There is no such thing as bad publicity except for maybe that situation.
The other thing is, as well, is TV-wise, last weekend was the Challenge Cup final when the North heads down to Wembley for a bit of rugby league.
Yeah.
And a French team won it for the first time ever. Anyone outside England has won the Challenge Cup in its 120-odd year history. Right. Catalan Dragons won it, and it was great. Great coverage from the BBC. And there was stuff on before the match which was very interesting about Vichy government trying to ban rugby league and stuff like that. It was good. So I thought Chapman did a good job.
Good. I like Mark. He's great. We're about to get back into the NFL season again as well, which Mark Chapman presents a weekly BBC programme. With what?
See how I teed it up.
I know, it's nice. No, it's very nice. Yeah, we're working very well, Ben. We don't have to point out that we're working well. It's just relaxed.
Yeah, I've got my feet up on the table.
And I was going to point that out, but I decided to go over it. Now, Ben, what I asked you to do during that last interview was to mark out who are your top six teams, because I've done some research into how the league actually works.
Okay.
All right?
This is gridiron now, yeah?
Yeah. So the NFL is broken up into NFC and AFC.
Yep.
And in each division, there are 16 teams.
Okay.
So there are four leagues of four teams in these divisions.
Conferences?
Yeah, if you like.
Four conferences.
Leagues, mate. I don't know why you're trying to change my word. They're called leagues.
Groups.
Fine, call them what you like. And everyone, so if you're in one of those four, right, you play everyone in your division twice, because that's your division, that's where you get the rivalries built up. You then play an other team from one of the other three divisions, home and away.
Yeah.
But this changes every year. And then you play one of the other teams from this division as well. So it's quite interesting that you do get to kind of play a lot of different people in the NFL. And anyway, it's the top six teams from those 16 that make it through into the playoffs.
Okay.
And I've asked you to identify your top six from each division.
Yeah.
So we can figure out, in your view, who wins the Super
Bowl.
Totally
blind.
You've got no idea, have
you? No idea.
So let's start with...
I've got a bit of an idea.
Let's start with the NFC. So talk us through who you went with the NFC.
Okay. Well, I went with the San Francisco 49ers to be number one.
Wait, have I done this the wrong way around? Yep, I have done this wrong way. Talk to the AFC first. Now, the reason I bring it to the AFC, Ben, is because it's the worst one.
Yeah.
The NFC regularly wins the Super Bowl.
Apart from one.
Except because, yeah.
Yeah. So, the AFC is a dirge of teams. I only know one that's any good.
Okay.
And their Matt's is number one. That's the New England Patriots.
And why do you know they're good?
Because they win the odd Super Bowl.
They win quite a lot of Super Bowls, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
It's a shame.
Then it's kind of like up in the air. So the Baltimore Ravens at two.
Any reason for the Ravens?
Just The Wire.
Oh!
And
so you watched The Wire and thought to yourself, bet they've got a good football team.
The Denver Broncos.
Why the Broncos?
Because altitude. It's difficult to play it there, Gaff, isn't it? Because it's so high up in the air.
Yeah, okay.
It's a mile high stadium, Marv.
Yeah.
It's so high.
I mean, they're not
That's good knowledge, that. I've got that out of nowhere.
I mean, it's good geography knowledge, but not great football knowledge. I don't think the Denver Broncos have done anything for a long time.
No, they play at the Mile High Stadium.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means it's a problem if you're never played at that altitude before.
Yeah.
Then the Houston Texans.
Why the Texans?
Because they're not anyone else.
What?
Well,
sorry, talk me through your thinking again on that one.
Right. So, for example, I know, for example, the Buffalo Bills are dirge. I also know the Cleveland Browns are dirge, as are the Cincinnati Bengals, as are the Indianapolis Colts, as are the Tennessee Titans.
I see you skipped over the Jacksonville Jaguars then. Well, so you don't know about them.
No, I know.
They're quite good, you see.
I know their owner wants to move them to Wembley. Then
well, they play three games
a year. The Oakland Raiders are rubbish, as are the LA Chargers. So, the Houston Texans are picked because they're not any of those teams.
Let me tell you then that one of the things about this season is that LA are due to have a good year. Not just the Chargers, the Rams in the other division as well. Apparently LA look good.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think they're a great shout.
And then the New York Jets because they're due...
Jerry and the Jets.
So that's I don't know if you want to write them down.
So that was the AFC. Yeah. So take us to your NFC.
Okay, so I started off with the 49ers.
Because number one spot.
Because my dad said they've got a good quarterback this year.
Garofalo.
Yeah. Then the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Because
they've got loads of money. Green Bay Packers, because they're fan-owned.
And their star quarterback is back this year.
The Philadelphia Eagles, because they've come close.
They won it, didn't they?
Atlanta Falcons, because they did come close a couple of years ago.
They did come close. Great game.
And the Minnesota Vikings, because their stadium's brilliant. So
and they got through to the championship game last year.
Yeah.
They didn't quite make the Super Bowl, but they're a good team.
So there you go.
And the stadium is wonderful.
So there you go.
Well, very good.
Isn't that amazing, Mav? We could do that show and pass it off as knowing.
I now know enough about it. I've got to that point.
But I don't watch any of this, Mav.
I know, but you know enough about sport to tee it up, mate. So now we're going to go through the games to take you through to who's going to be the Super Bowl champion, all right?
Yes.
So in the wild card round, Ben.
Yes.
So because you had certain people as winners, like New England, Baltimore, San Fran, and the Cowboys, they get a bye week.
Okay.
They get a rest. So keep that into consideration.
Okay.
So the first in the wild card round, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Houston Texans, Ben. Who's going to win that game?
Is it home or away?
The Texans are at home.
The Texans will win then.
The Texans. A bizarre shout, but all right. Okay, the Texans going through to the divisional round. Next wild card round, Ben. Denver Broncos are at the New York Jets.
Denver will win that.
Away to New York.
Yeah. Because it's not... I know New
the
York...
The height thing again?
I know New York is low-lying, but I reckon it'll still be high enough for Denver to do all right.
I like that all of your assumptions have been made around altitude. It's a weird way of doing it, but hey, if it works, we'll find out if it works. The Falcons are going to play at the Eagles. That's a good game.
Eagles
are winning that one. And then the final wildcard round, the Green Bay Packers are at the Vikings.
The Packers
are going to win that one, Ren. All right. Okay, so into the divisional round, Ben. It's a quarterfinal stage, you might know this as. Texans versus New England.
New England.
I've got myself confused suddenly. New England, there they go, through there. Baltimore versus Denver.
Baltimore.
So the Wire making it through to the semi-finals, basically, of the new Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's a bold prediction. Next, the Eagles versus the 49ers. There's a game.
The 49ers.
You quite like the 49ers, based on your dad's theory that...
That's why I go for breakfast. So I can get all the good tips on American football.
And Cowboys and Packers is your last quarterfinal.
Packers.
The Packers are winning that one. See you later. The Dallas Cowboys. So in the semi-final, if you like, what they call the conference championships.
Oh, and everyone, at this stage of the season, Marv, everyone is raving about Baltimore. In fact, Baltimore is cool again. Not since the final series of The Wire has Baltimore been this cool at this point in history.
The Wire made Baltimore cool, unfortunately. He just kind of told it how it is. And they went, oh, that's a shame. So into the conference championships, Ben.
A very posh English actor playing the main protagonist.
A series of them. Yeah, yeah.
Idris Elba, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and the guy that goes, all the pieces matter, Morgan Freeman.
He's not English.
Not Morgan Freeman.
What's his name?
He's Lester Freeman.
He's not English.
Though. He is English.
He's not.
100% English.
He's not.
Look it up.
He's American.
English.
I've heard him speak.
English. I'm getting confused.
You are.
He's American.
Yeah.
Right, number one, Ben, the conference championships. New England versus Baltimore.
New England.
New England are going to win that as well. So they're going through.
And then at that point, everyone's going, oh, Baltimore.
Everyone turns against Baltimore again at that point.
That fifth series of The Wire, ridiculous. What's with the red ribbon stuff? Nonsense.
Why is it nonsense?
It was nonsense.
Why was it nonsense?
That's where the show went a bit weird.
Answer my question. Why was it nonsense?
because it just made the show totally unrealistic.
Why?
Because
it would totally work.
I don't want to ruin it for the listener.
I think the series is old enough now.
But McNulty doing that was stupid.
Right? That doesn't mean it wouldn't happen.
I never said it wouldn't happen. I just said it was ridiculous.
Why?
Because it was.
Why was it ridiculous, though?
A detective faking a serial killer is just not...
It's just not what?
I enjoyed the press...
Plausible.
I enjoyed the newspaper stuff. Idiot. In the fifth series.
I mean, yeah, the newspaper stuff was great, but so was the Red Ribbon. The final game in the NFC, Ben, is the 49ers playing the Green Bay Packers. What a game that is.
Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers. So, Ben, that makes your Super Bowl players for the 2018 Super Bowl, which I think is the 99th. Is that right?
I don't know.
That can't be right. I must have made that up.
I think you have.
We would have heard about it. Super Bowl champions are either New England, and I think the game has been playing at Atlanta this year, if this changes your view in your geographical knowledge. New England Patriots versus the Green Bay Packers. Who are your winners, Ben?
Green Bay.
Green Bay wins.
Here on FC Radio, we support fan ownership, Marv.
We do indeed.
There we go.
All right, there we go. Yeah. So, FCM Radio predicts that Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl.
And at this point, people are going, what was that about? Does anyone care?
Hey, anyone that's into football, Ben, will have followed that. They just
football?
That's right. It's called football.
It's not football, though, is it? It's handball, really. Handball and a lot of bumping. And protective bumping as well.
Handball and a lot of bumping.
That's American football for you.
Yeah, I mean, that wraps it up, doesn't
padded
it?
Padded bumping.
Speaking of wrap up, Ben.
Yes, it's now time to go. are you going to do your little wrap up music, Marv?
Or get in there, mate.
Okay,
get in there,
come
right?
on, then. Let's do this
thing.
Wait for it. Well, that is the end of the Shindig Breakfast Show. Will the boys return? Have we got a date booked in next week?
No. Okay. You don't text me till Thursday every week, so okay. I have to live quite flexibly, don't I?
We'll be back next week as we'll be previewing a match, which I can't remember where we're going. Is it away somewhere? Is it Geyser?
Are you going to Geyser next week?
I think we might be going to Geyser next week. I might have dreamt that. But anyway... But don't forget, coming up on this station this weekend, Radcliffe FC against Colwyn Bay on Saturday and FC United against Bradford Park Avenue on Sunday. Look out for some other programmes as well that are on the station. Red Rebel Radio with Swamper has a bit of a preview for the Bradford Park Avenue match as well as a bit of a chat about everything that's been going on the last 7 days or so. And I think that's about it, really.
It's not it, Ben. For the big United fans that are out there. Do you still call it Big United?
Yeah, Big United.
For the big United fans that are listening this morning, you know, will Jose still be in charge by the Geisley game? Who knows, Ben?
That was a good press conference that last week.
I mean, it's up there with Cantona and his trawlers, that's the word I'm looking for, and his seagulls.
What he was saying was fair enough, but the problem he's got is... It's not about the titles, Jose. It's about the way you play football.
Yeah, that's the shame, isn't it? And yeah, you can't argue with the statistics.
But to be fair,
you can argue with the arsy nature in which he responds to every question. There was a question that came in from, I think it was last night's press conference. And a journalist basically said, all right, if you don't win with United, will you still consider yourself one of the greatest managers? And that's a fair enough question. And it opens him up to say, yeah, I would. And I wouldn't have any problem with it. But he didn't say that. He said... Would you ask that to the person that finishes third? Would you ask that to the person that finishes fourth? It's like, well, no, I'm asking you. Just answer the question. And this is what annoys me about him. Well, it's not just that. I mean, it's the style of football. Good God, I'm not a United fan, but honestly, someone needs to come back into that club and sort it out again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm speaking the truth, all right? All United fans know it at the moment. They're all looking at City going, God, I wish we played like that. Just, I don't approve of the way they've done it, but... I just wish we played like that. How hard can it be for your ticky-tacky football at Old Trafford?
Not like that. Purposeful. Passing with a purpose.
Sure.
It's what everyone likes. Not long ball, but nice, direct, purposeful passing to players in front of them so they can run onto it and then pass it to the next guy. Because you know what the fastest thing is on a football pitch, Marv?
The football, mate. That's what Brian Clough said.
Oh.
It only takes 1 second to score a goal. Good God, he was smart. All right, you can get in touch with us on Ben and Marv at fcumradio.co.uk. You can tweet us at fcumradio, and there's also a Facebook thing.
There is.
So, this week, Ben, looking good for you?
Yes, don't forget as well the FA Youth Cup on Wednesday, if that's on, I'm assuming it is. And don't forget as well, a big thank you to David Chadwick and Mr. Nathan Atkinson from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus for joining us on this week's show.
And I honestly hope that Chaddy pulls in some kind of, you know, terrifying routines into his halftime team talk. I'd like to see him whispering.
Just stares at the tartan blanket army in the main stand. Just puts the wind up him a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Stop eating your sandwiches. Enjoy the football. And the sweet stall is still open.
Maybe that should be our new tagline. FC Radio. Enjoy the football. For God's sake. Right, we'll be back next week. Until then, we've been Ben and Marv. Have yourselves a lovely week. And you know what? Be nice to each other. See you, Ben.
Bye-bye, Marv.